This lesson is TBP number 15, and the series we're on is called The Name of Jesus. And in this lesson, this particular lesson in this series is called Doing Works in Jesus' Name. Please open your Bible to John chapter 16. Anybody remember what we're talking about? Prayer. What about prayer? Anybody remember what our last... In Jesus' name. There you go. We're talking about praying in Jesus' name. Last time our text was John 16, verse 23, and we'll just briefly cover that, and then we'll move on to something else in Jesus' name. Remember now, Jesus is speaking, and it was the night before he was going to the cross, and he had a lot of things he wanted to cover and talk to his disciples about. And so John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 were Jesus... almost one continuous blotch of red in your Bible where he was speaking to his disciples, covering important points before he went to the cross. And he knew he was going away, and so he was covering some things, and he was telling them some things that would enable them to live a victorious Christian life. And one of the things he was talking about was praying in his name. And in John 16, 23, Jesus said, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." In other words, you won't ask Jesus for anything. In the day that he's talking about, the day that that's coming up when he's going to sit at the right hand of the Father. In that day, you're not going to pray to Jesus, he's saying. You're not going to pray to me. You're not going to ask me. They were in the habit of asking Jesus for things, asking him questions. And he says, in this day that's coming, you're not going to ask me for anything. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." So Jesus is setting up a new order that's to be followed in prayer, and that is praying to the Father, but in the name of Jesus. And we're going to be talking in the next couple of weeks about the power in the name and how that power got there. But for now, we're just talking about what Jesus said. And so he says, "Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Okay, so he's talking here about prayer, isn't he? He's talking about asking the Father for whatever you need. But he's saying, ask in my name, the power in the name of Jesus. To some extent, I think that understanding has been lost to the church. If you go back and look in the New Testament church, they understood the power in the name of Jesus. I mean, they talked, everything was done in the name of Jesus. That's one revelation they had. What we're trying to do here is get that revelation back in the body of Christ. There's tremendous power in the name of Jesus. Okay, so here we're talking about what? Prayer in the name of Jesus, okay? Well, tonight we're going to talk about something just a little bit different than prayer. Turn back now to John chapter 14. Now, Jesus is still speaking here. It's one long expose of things that Jesus wants to talk to his disciples about. And here he's talking about... well, he was covering the fact that they didn't really yet understand who he was, in a sense. You know, even after all these 3 years they've been together, he's getting ready now to go to the cross. They're still trying to figure this whole thing out. And Jesus says, Thomas in verse 5 said in John 14, "Lord, we know not whither you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said before that, verse 4, "Whether I go, ye know, and the way you know." And Thomas is all confused, and he says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us." They're still trying to figure out what this is all about here. And Jesus said unto you, "Have I been with you so long a time, and yet you've not known me, Philip?" Now listen to this. "He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" In other words, when Jesus ministered on the earth, he wasn't ministering as the God, which he was. He was ministering as a prophet, a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist. He had the full fivefold ministry operating. But he had given up, if you remember in Philippians 2, all says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He could have been. He was equal with God. But he gave up all of that for us. And he ministered down here as an example of how we can minister. Now, he ministered in the fullness of all the ministry gifts. Well, we measure, we minister in a measure of that. But still, in the same sense, he was showing us how we can live our lives, okay? And so he's saying, right here, he's saying, look, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Now here's the key. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See, Jesus wasn't doing the works himself. He was a channel for the works, but the Father was doing the works through Jesus. Now listen to this. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. In other words, he's saying here, believe me what I'm saying. And he goes on to say, basically, look, if you don't believe me for what I'm saying, believe me for the very works' sake. In other words, believe me that I'm in the Father just because I'm saying it, and the Father in me. But if that's hard for you, just believe me because you've seen the works. He's saying, you know, I'll give you a choice. You know, if you can't believe just because I say it, believe me because I do the works. Now, here's something that's going to help us. Now, we're talking about what? The fact that the Father is doing the works through Jesus. We're talking about works. What are works? What are we talking about? Signs, miracles, healings, all the things that Jesus did. Verse 12, here's the key. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, can you believe this? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now just let that soak in. He that believeth, or she that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he or she do also. Can your mind, can you get that? Can you get that in your mind or your spirit? Now, if you can't get that, you're not going to get the next phrase. And greater works than these shall he do, you do, because I go unto the Father. Jesus is saying to us, he that believeth on me, do you believe on him? Have you believed on him? If there's anybody here that hasn't believed on Jesus, well, then we need to get saved, get born again. But if you've believed on him and you're born again, you qualify. Now listen, the works that Jesus has done, that you've seen done all through the Bible, shall you be able to do also. Isn't that some statement? And greater works than these shall he do, or you do, or whoever believes on him. Why? Because I go unto the Father. Now, what do you suppose some of those greater works are? Any ideas there? Well, let's give you a hint here. What are some of the works that Jesus couldn't do while he was here, before he went to the cross? How about the new birth? That's a great work, isn't it? It's a new creation. I mean, when you're born again, I mean, getting healed is one thing, and that's wonderful. Living in divine health is wonderful. But a new birth, a new creation in Christ, when you're born again, you're not just made over. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Now, that's in your spirit this happens, because don't get confused by your flesh. It's not born again yet. You got to get your flesh, you know, keep it under. You got to get your mind renewed. But that spirit man is a brand new creature in Christ. That's a great miracle that's worked at the new birth. Greater works shall we do because he goes to the Father. Another greater work is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't given yet. No one was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Nobody spoke in tongues yet. These works, you know, I think the works are greater in the sense that there's things that Jesus couldn't do while he was here because he hadn't gone to the cross and had paid the penalty for our sins. So the new birth was a greater work that couldn't be done yet. And I also think the greater takes on the fact that there's more of us than there was of Jesus that can be doing these works. For whatever reason, though, the works that Jesus did, he says we can do too. Now, we as Christians, it would behoove us to meditate on this. What in the world are we doing, putting up with the problems and the things in our lives when we've got the power in the name of Jesus to take authority over these things the same way Jesus did? Now, I grant you that this takes a little meditation. This takes a little bit of getting in there and figuring out and meditating on the fact of who you are in Christ and what you can do. If you're a brand new believer that you've yesterday you were a sinner, you were in every sin there ever was, you were hooked on drugs, you were an alcoholic, you were, you know, living in adultery, whatever that might have been, and you get born again tonight, you have the same qualifications for doing these works today that any one of the rest of us have. It blows your mind. Jesus is that way. The Heavenly Father is that way. He doesn't hold our past life against us. When you become a new creature in Christ, you're immediately eligible for this. Now, I'll just give you an example of these greater works. I mean, one of those things when my girls were little, they were 7 and 5, and I'd just gotten born again, and we were having church in our home out in California, and I was bringing, I'd get Revelation and tapes, and I would teach it immediately to the kids and Marianne, and we'd have our Sunday church at home until we found a place. And we were talking about the very fact thing here, the name of Jesus. And the girls had been hassled by a German shepherd who lived right down the road from us. They would walk down the road to play with a neighbor kid, and he would come out, lay his ears back, and bare his fangs, and run at them, and scare them, understandably so. They would, it'd scare me. And so they came up, and they were all in tears, and, you know, I forget the German shepherd's name, but he chased us again, and, you know, and I was, you know, starting to get a little upset and everything, and I said, wait a minute. Let's just do what we've been learning about in the Bible on the name of Jesus. The next time that German shepherd comes at you girls, and I'm not around, you just shake your finger at him and say, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. So they're little kids. They're just, what do they know? Okay, Dad said it, you know. That's why we need to look at the Bible sometime. Daddy said it, it's true, you know. And so they went down the road the next day, and in the next couple of days, nothing happened. But about the third day, they went down, and here came this German shepherd again. And they just shook their finger at that German shepherd and said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. And that German shepherd tucked his tail between his legs, and he took off, scared to death of those little girls. Why? Because they were believers. They were young, but they were believers, and they believed on Jesus. And they knew a little bit about the authority in the name of Jesus. In fact, sometimes I think little children know more about this than we do. And the reason is, I think sometimes, is because when we come into this as a new creature in Christ, we're all enthused, we're ready to believe, and especially if we haven't had a lot of, you know, I came from nothing. I didn't know anything. So I was ready to accept. I didn't have to unlearn a lot of stuff. Some people have to unlearn some things. And all of a sudden we go through life and maybe a few prayers we didn't figure God answered that should have been answered. And all of a sudden our faith begins to drop in the effect of prayer and the power in the name of Jesus. Now in the beginning, God, you know, we were so fresh and new that we were ready to believe. Or we were doing all the word we knew when we were young Christians. And remember last week we talked about the name of Jesus and sometimes praying in the name of Jesus, how sometimes you got prayer earlier in your Christian walk and then it kind of dropped off a little bit. See, you're responsible for more word now than you were then. Remember? And Jesus said, you know, in John 15:7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Well, see, that word's got to abide in you. And as you go along, you become responsible for more and more word. So as the word knowledge improves, you need to keep meditating in that word and keep it fresh just like you do as a little kid. You've got more now to keep track of, but you need to reproach it just the same way. And if you do that, that prayer efficiency will never slacken. And I think what's happened to some of us, and I know it has me sometimes, is, you know, the prayers that seem to get answered rather easily early in my Christian walk, now all of a sudden I'm waiting longer or something, what happened? We need to get back and just approach the... There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. We just need to go back and accept the fact that, hey, if something isn't working, ask God. Find out why. Get it straightened out so your faith isn't damaged. Okay? And so, Jesus said, and he, the works that I do shall you do also. All right, what are the requirements for doing these works? First of all, you must be a what? A believer. You know, it's not going to work if you're not born again. All right? So we're all believers, so we meet that. What's the second thing? You must ask. If you look up the Greek word for ask in verse 13, it's a Greek word, A-I-T-E-O, and in Strong's Dictionary, it says one of the meanings of this word is to make demand as if for something due. Now, you're not demanding this of God in this sense. This is not prayer. This is different than John 16:23, okay? I hope I haven't confused you. John 16:23 is for prayer. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Now we're talking about doing the works of Jesus. Now we're on a different subject. This is something that we ask or demand in Jesus' name, not of the Father. We're not talking about. He doesn't mention praying to the Father here. Okay? He says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Now, Jesus is going to do this. You notice in the other one, the Father did it. The Father answered the prayer, John 16:23. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, Jesus is saying, whatsoever you ask or demand of something do, I'll give it to you. You're not demanding it of God, but you're like that German shepherd. You're demanding, you know, your rights as a Christian. You know, if it means deliverance, you're saying, Satan, take your hands off my body if you're sick. You see the difference? One is prayer. You can pray for healing, but I'm saying Jesus is covering two subjects. Is it clear? Okay, let's go over it a little bit more, because I can see that I haven't made this entirely clear. Maybe it's new to some of you. In John 16:23, Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. We're talking about prayer here, all right? And he's saying, ask the Father, and the Father will give it to you. End of that subject. That's prayer. Now we're talking about something different. We're talking about doing the works of Jesus. Okay? It's a little different subject now. In this case, we don't ask the Father for anything. We don't ask Jesus for anything. What we're doing is making demand upon our rights as a Christian. Now, to do the works of Jesus, what were his works? Healing? Driving out devils? All those kind of things are the works of Jesus. You want to do those works? You don't say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to drive out this devil. And he does it. No. That's not what prayer's for. You've got the authority to get rid of that devil that's bugging you. You understand the difference? Some things we ask the Father for, but other things we take authority over. Now Jesus is talking about those works, like he had worked, where he took authority over demons. He took authority over sickness. He took authority over adverse circumstances. You can do the same thing. You can work those works. Okay? You speak to those circumstances. Now we're going to look at some examples, if we have time here. And we'll see how those works were done by the disciples, just as Jesus said. Let's take a look at one. Okay, turn to Acts chapter 3. And we'll just take an example here. See the difference now between prayer and doing the works of Jesus? In one case, we're asking the Father, and he's answering our prayer, and he does it. In this case, we make demand of the devil or circumstances or whatever in the name of Jesus, and Jesus does the work. If you meditate on that, you'll get it. All right. Verse 1, chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, or he asked for some money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And this man, this cripple, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I don't have it. But such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, do you see how Peter used this name? He's doing the works of Jesus. Did Jesus ever heal a paralytic or a cripple? Yes, he did. Now, Jesus didn't go around saying in the name of Jesus. He didn't have to. He was Jesus, right? So he understood he had his name. But now they're using this same name of Jesus, just as Jesus was there. You ever notice back in Matthew 18:19, it said, if two or more of you on earth shall agree on touching anything they shall ask, I will do it. And before that he said, for where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I. See, whenever two believers gather together and use his name, he's right there. So Peter knew that. He was taught that by his master. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Here he's doing the works of Jesus. Jesus, just like we studied in John chapter 14. He that believeth on me in my name shall he do the works that I do, and even greater works shall he do because I go to the Father. Okay, so here's Peter doing it, right? Here's our example. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Okay, this is doing the works of Jesus. This is not praying to the Father. This is not the Father doing it. This is Jesus doing the work when we pray or make demand in the name of Jesus. Okay? You need to know this. This is really, really one of the things that will really make a difference in your life when you get a revelation of what this name can do. And then he got all in trouble and everybody all upset, you know, and they thought that Peter and John had done this. And then in verse 12. But down in verse 16, Peter sums it all up. And he adds a new requirement. Okay, up to now all we've had is being a believer, praying in the name of Jesus, and making demand or asking, okay? Now here's a fourth requirement, and it's important, because when I was a young Christian, I missed this one. I thought, man, I could just walk up anywhere, anytime, lay my hands on somebody in the name of Jesus, and if they were crippled, dead, whatever, they'd get up and walk, because that's what John 14 said, and that's the way we should believe the Word of God. But I was missing one ingredient, and I want to save you some problems here, okay? And here's the ingredient I was missing in verse 16. They're all wondering how this happened. And Peter says, and his name, well, I've got that, we've talked about that, but listen to this, through faith in his name hath made this man whole, strong, whom you both see and know. See, there was more than just his name, there was something called faith in his name, too. And we can't cover any more tonight. But we'll continue this next time and take off right from here. So Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true. I thank you for the power in the name of Jesus. We're going to go forth now, Father, as believers and use the mighty name of Jesus to come against whatever it is that we want to pray about right now, Father. So just listen and hear us use that mighty name, Father, because we're about to come into your throne room with that name, Father God. All of us here together are believers, Father. We know that you hear our prayers when we pray because we're your sons and daughters, and you said that we might come boldly into your throne to obtain grace to help in time of need. So, Father, we come joyfully, we come boldly, and we come in the name of Jesus, Father. And we're going to come in there, Father, and we're going to change some things using your son's mighty name. And so we do this now, Father. We're getting ready to do it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. First question is a true or false question. True or false? Well, before I go into this, let me just read our text for this particular lesson. It's found in John chapter 14, and it's verse number 12 and 13. So I'm going to turn there right now. John chapter 14. Verses 12 and 13. And just to distinguish this lesson from our last lesson, which was on praying in the name of Jesus, let me just first quote John 16:23, which is our text for praying in the name of Jesus, which is not this lesson. This is doing works in Jesus' name. But I want to quote the other verse too, because I want to contrast these two verses and show what's the same and also what's different between them. So in John 16:23, Jesus said, and I'll read that. He said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So in this verse, we're talking about what? We're talking about praying in Jesus' name. And we ask the Father in his name. Okay, that's praying in Jesus' name. Now, this lesson, doing the works of Jesus, our text is found in John chapter 14, and let me read that. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And then he goes on in verse 13 and says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so here we distinguish the fact that in this verse 13, where it says ask. It's a Greek word, A-I-T-E-O, and it also means, one of the meanings is to demand. And so we talked about that in our lesson. So we could read it this way, and whatsoever you shall demand in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, after reading these two verses, let me now ask these questions. True or false? I'll read this question again. Because of what Jesus said in John 14, 12, and 13, anyone can do the works of Jesus. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. And we're going to find out why in the next question. Why or why not is this true or false? Well, the reason it's false is because if you go back and look at verse 12, it says, not just anyone can do this, but he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So there's a requirement here, isn't there? There's a requirement that we must be believers on Jesus. Now, does this mean just historically we can believe on Jesus? In other words, well, I believe Jesus existed. No. The Bible says that even the devils believe in Jesus. They believe he was a historical figure. Many people believe in Jesus as a historical figure, but they've never accepted him as their Savior. So this believing on Jesus, which it says to do in this verse, is different than believing in Jesus in a historical fashion. In fact, what does it mean to believe on Jesus? Well, it means we do what it says in Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if anyone shall believe in their heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead and confess with their mouth that Jesus is now their Lord, they shall be saved. So that's believing on Jesus. That's taking Jesus as your Savior. Believing in Jesus historically is not the same. So the reason that just not anyone can do the works of Jesus is because we must believe on Jesus as our personal Savior, not just believing in Jesus as a historical figure. So that answers that question. Actually, to answer that question, you would write in the blank, because in verse 12, he said, he that believeth on me. So that's not just anyone. Okay, next question, true or false? Just as in the case of prayer in Jesus' name, covered by John 16, 23, here also we must use the name Jesus, not thy or his or Christ's name. Is that true or false? That's true. Why or why not? That's the next question. Well, in both cases, and we covered this extensively in our last lesson, if you recall, in both these cases, Jesus said, in my name. What is Jesus' name? We are told in Scripture that his name is Jesus. And we covered that. The angel, when he appeared to Joseph in a dream, said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Okay? His name is Jesus. Philippians said he's been given a name. Philippians chapter 2 says he's been given a name above every other name. And that name, it says, is Jesus. So the name Jesus has the power. His doesn't have any power. Thy doesn't have any power. When you hear people say, in thy name we pray, or in his name we pray, see, that gives the enemy a loophole. He said, well, you didn't say Jesus' name, you just said his or thy. It could be anybody. And even Christ is not Jesus' name, really. Jesus is the Christ, or Jesus is the anointed one. That's what Christ means. But Christ isn't part of his name. Now, you can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, using this method, or in praying in Jesus' name, that's fine, because you've used the name Jesus there. Jesus the Christ, that's fine. But not just Christ, not just his, not just thy, okay? All right, so the answer to this question then is true. And we've also covered why or why not. Next question, true or false? When we use this method, we demand that Jesus do the work, whatever it might be. In other words, it said in this verse, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. All right, now, when we use this method, we demand that Jesus do the work. Is that true or false? That's false. We're not demanding this of Jesus. We'll clarify that in the next question. Next question. No, the demand we make using this method is not to Jesus or the Father, but to circumstances or the devil as we enforce our rights as Christians. And that is true. We're not making a demand of Jesus or the Father, are we? We wouldn't do that. But we are demanding our rights in the name of Jesus as believers to enforce our rights as Christians, our Christian rights given to us in the Bible. So we're not demanding this of Jesus or the Father, but we're demanding it of circumstances or the devil as we enforce our rights as Christians. So that's true. Next question, true or false? We don't actually do the works. The works are done the same way Jesus did the works, in the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, or in the case of Jesus, through him. Is that true or false? That's true. It does say here that the works that I do shall we do also. But we do the works the same way Jesus did, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had the Holy Spirit when he was on the earth ministering, and we have that same Holy Spirit indwelling us if we're Christians. See, when Jesus came here, Philippians tells us he gave up his heavenly powers and came down here and ministered as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was God, but he voluntarily gave up those rights when he came here and worked. He wanted to show us what we could do as Christians later on when he went back to be with the Father. And so he ministered here. He gave up his heavenly, godly powers, even though he was still God when he was here. We're not denying that. But he did these works, he says, all through the Gospels, in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I do the works that my Father does through me. And his Father did it through him, through the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. So, this is true. We don't actually do the works. But the works, it says we do the works, but the works are really, truly, more specifically done through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, that power of the Holy Spirit that indwells every Christian. So that's true. Name two additional works that might be called greater works that we may do that Jesus didn't do. Now, to answer this question, remember, the reason I'm asking this, it says here, Jesus said, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. So, name two additional works that might be called greater works that we may do that Jesus didn't do. Now, what? Just name a couple. What would they be? Well, one thing Jesus didn't do was lead someone into salvation. Okay? That wasn't available when Jesus was here. Because why? Well, to be saved or to be born again, what had to happen first? Jesus had to die on the cross and be raised from the dead. And that didn't happen until after Jesus went back to heaven to be with the Father. Okay? And so when we lead someone to Jesus or to salvation through Jesus, that's an additional great work that Jesus didn't do. What would be another one? Well, how about leading someone to the baptism in the Holy Spirit? That would be a greater work. That would be something that's never been done before. No, that didn't happen to anyone until after Jesus died and rose again. Remember in Acts chapter 2, that was the first time that ever happened. What else would be maybe greater works? I only have two blanks here, but let's talk about maybe a third thing. What would be a third thing that Jesus, that would be called a greater work? Well, how about the fact that since Jesus has gone back to be with his Father, there are more healings now, more preaching, more teaching, more deliverances. Why? Because there's more of us now. See, Jesus was just one person, even though he was God, but as we talked, he gave up his godly powers when he came here and was worked as an anointed servant of God, but anointed with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And he did healings, and he did a lot of them, and he did preaching and teaching and deliverances, and he had as an individual, more power of the Holy Spirit than anyone ever has, because he was anointed to a greater degree than any believer ever will be. However, there are more of us. The body of Christ has millions and even billions in it now. And so more healings can be done, more preaching, more teaching, more deliverances, because there's more of it. So that would be a greater work. So you can see here that it doesn't mean that we're greater than Jesus, of course, or anything like that. It simply means there's more of us, and there's different kinds of works that we can do now that Jesus couldn't do until he was raised from the dead. And now he does those works through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is still doing, working through us. Don't get me wrong here. It's just that he didn't do these works, some of them, while he was on the earth. That's all I'm saying. Okay, next question. Why did Jesus pass this authority on to Christians? In other words, when he went back to heaven, why did he leave us with this mandate? In other words, what are we talking about here? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask or demand in my name, that will I do. See, Jesus is still doing this, but he's doing it through us on the earth with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Okay, I hope that makes that clear. Now, why did Jesus pass this authority on to Christians? Because he was leaving. And if he doesn't leave, we're all going to stand around and watch him do it, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. When Jesus is here, they all pretty much stood around and watched him do it. Now, he did anoint a few of them to go out and do some of these works. But Jesus knew that he needed to go back with the Father, and then he said, I'll send the Holy Spirit. Okay? And when he did that, later on we find out in Ephesians and Colossians especially that Jesus is now in heaven and he's the head of the church and we're his body. So why did Jesus pass this authority on to Christians? Because he was leaving and we're now his body on the earth. Okay? And we're also a larger and more numerous body. Jesus is still the head, but now his body is so much more efficient because there's so much more of us. Okay? There's millions of us, billions of Christians on the earth now to do the works of Jesus, where when he was here, he just had his one body that was doing these things. Yes, he did a lot, and he did a wonderful, he did everything the Father wanted him to do. He was the beloved Son in whom the Father was well pleased. So we're no way diminishing what Jesus did. We're only trying to explain what Jesus meant in this verse when he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. See, because he went to his Father, he became the head of the body of Christ on the earth. And now this body is, there's multitudes of us that can do these works. Okay, let's go on to the next question. I think you got the point there. Give an example of someone who tried to do the works of Jesus, but it didn't work. That sounds kind of negative, doesn't it? But I have a reason for bringing this out. Let's turn, the answer to this question is, give an example of someone who tried to do the works of Jesus and it didn't work. Well, there were seven of them, and they were called the seven sons of Sceva. And why didn't it work? Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 19 and read this interesting account. This is about the only time I can think about where Scripture brings out a case of something not working. And God has a purpose, I believe, in putting this in the Bible. Let's go to Acts 19 and start with verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, they were exorcists, these vagabond Jews. They weren't believers. It doesn't say anything about them being believers, but they did go about attempting at least to cast out devils. Okay, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, that's what exorcists are, they try to cast out devils, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, one key thing I want to point out in this verse is it says, they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't say they were given permission by God to do this. It says they took upon themselves to do this. In other words, they took this right upon themselves. Now, we can't take these things on ourselves. They have to be given to us, like it described earlier when Jesus said, I'm giving you this power. He that believeth on me in my name shall he do these works. Okay? But it says they took this upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, and they'd say this to the person, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Siva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, these seven sons, leaped on the seven sons, and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. What a spectacle. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks. Oh boy, I wouldn't want that known about me. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now, let's talk about that for a second. It says here that they took upon them this rite. Never does it say that they were believers. As a matter of fact, you can tell by the way they talked, they weren't believers, because they said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. In other words, there was no personal relationship with Jesus here. They didn't have, you could just tell by the way they say this, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. In other words, they had no personal relationship with Jesus. They were trying to do this because they saw Paul doing it. And the evil spirit even said to him, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. Paul was just a believer. But who are you? In other words, he says, who are you to try to cast me out? And he leaped on them. And this is the only case we have, really, of where an evil spirit actually damaged someone who was attempting to cast out a devil. And why was he able to do this? Because these men weren't believers. And in fact, in verse 17 it says, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I think the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified here because, number one, people could say that, gee, there's only certain people that have the right to use this name, because just look what happened here in this case. And believers then were, that name was magnified, that it had to be used by someone who professed a belief in or on Jesus. Okay. So anyway, the reason it didn't work is because the seven sons of Siva obviously were not believers. Name four works or signs that Mark describes in Mark 16, verses 17 through 18. Well, let's go back and look at the book of Mark and see some works that Mark talks about. Now, we just talked about Jesus said we can do these works in John chapter 14. Let's talk about some works that Mark discusses here. Now, let's just read this. Mark chapter, let's just start with verse 16. Or verse 17, just like I said. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, who's speaking here? Jesus is speaking. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, how would you answer this question? Name four signs or works that Mark describes that can be done by believers. Number one, well, there are five signs, but I only ask you to name four. Let's talk. Number one, you can cast out devils. Number two, you can speak with new tongues. Number three, you can take up serpents. Number four, you can drink anything deadly and it won't hurt them. And number five, you may lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So there's five different things here that Mark says, signs or works that can be done. Who does Mark say these works will be done by? Well, let's go back and read what Jesus says. Actually, we should say, who does Jesus say these works will be done by? Because Mark is only repeating the words of Jesus, isn't he? So, who does Jesus say these works will be done by? Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Where does he say this? Where did Jesus say this? In verse 17, he said, these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Now, next question. How will these believers then do these signs or works? Now let's just read on in verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, speak with new tongues, and so forth. So how will these believers do them? In Jesus' name, that powerful name. There it is again. In Jesus' name, in my name. See, the name of Jesus is used throughout in every verse that we've used for praying in the name of Jesus, for doing works in the name of Jesus. Mark repeats it right here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and repeats what Jesus said. How are they going to do them? They're going to do them in Jesus' name. See, we must use Jesus' name. Here again, then, what we've learned here in Mark is that here again, believers do the works, and here again, they do these works in Jesus' name, just as it said in John chapter 14. Who does Jesus, or Mark, or Jesus, you could have either one here, because Mark is just repeating the works of Jesus, who does Mark say will work with us in doing these works? Well, you have to read on a little bit here, and you get down here in verse 20, and it says, after Jesus told them to do these things, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Who was the Lord that worked with them? The Lord Jesus Christ worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. See, anytime Jesus gives you a commission like he did here, like, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When we go in obedience to God's word, he will confirm that word and work with us. And these signs that he promised will then follow. So, but first we must step out in faith and do these things. Now, some people have had questions on some of these works in the sense that, well, what about taking up serpents? Do we just go out to do that to prove that we can do it as believers? No, that would be stupid, wouldn't it? In fact, there's an example in Acts where Paul was bitten by a viper and he just shook it off into the fire. And I'll bet he did it. It doesn't say there, but I'll bet he did it in Jesus' name. Because right here it says, if you get bitten, and it means accidentally, by a serpent or poisonous of anything, you can claim immunity in the name of Jesus as a believer. The same way if you would happen to accidentally drink any deadly thing, you can claim immunity over that thing in the name of Jesus if you discover you've drunk something that could be deadly or harmful to you. All right? We don't do these things to prove the word. We do these things in obedience to the word as needed. You know, if we accidentally would become bit or drink something deadly. We don't go out and try to test God in this, okay? So there's a distinction there. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay, so let's go on to our next question. Who does Mark say will work with us in doing these works? Jesus will work with us. Where do we find that? Verse 20 of Mark chapter 16. That's the scripture. Okay. Who is the person who is actually speaking in the book of John as well as the book of Mark? Well, the answer to this question is the Holy Spirit or God. Either one of those would be correct. And the reason I put this question in here is I just want to impress upon everyone that's listening to this that the person who's actually speaking in this Bible here is God, is the Holy Spirit himself. It's not just a good idea. It's not just someone's best idea of how things might work. This is God speaking to us, telling us how his kingdom works. So the person actually speaking in the book of John, as well as the book of Acts, is God himself through the Holy Spirit. How do we know? Well, how about 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much scripture? All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us. And back in 2 Peter, let me just turn back there for a second. I've always loved this scripture, 2 Peter chapter, let's see, 1 verse 20. Let's just jump into verse 20 here. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That means it didn't just come from a person. Listen, Verse 21, for the prophecy, in other words, of the Scriptures, came not in old time by the will of man. How did it come, Lord? But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Scripture comes by the Holy Ghost moving upon men to put certain things down. Is that clear? The Scripture came from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit Himself, God Himself, moving upon men to inerrantly translate what He spoke to them into words that you and I can read today. Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful privilege. Okay, so that's how we know. Give three examples of Jesus' works done through believers in the book of Acts. Okay, so I'm just asking you here to go back into the book of Acts and just skip around a little bit and looking at the top of the page, so to speak, finding out where the miracles are and writing these down here. Okay. When I say looking at the top of the page, I mean usually there's a little statement up there of what's on that page. Okay, so let's give some example. Well, first of all, there's healing. Those are some works Jesus did that are done through believers in the book of Acts. Healing, it was Acts chapter 3. Remember the man at the gate called Beautiful, whom Peter said to, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. What did he say? In Jesus' name, rise and walk. A believer speaking the name of Jesus. Isn't that what we've been talking about all the way through here? That's what Peter did right there. And we have many, many instances of healing. You may have gotten some more. There's many, many in there, and I'm not going to take time to go through them all. So there's healing, and I just gave you one example there. There was casting out devils in Acts 16:18. If you remember the damsel who followed I think it was Paul and Silas around, and she kept saying, these are men sent from God who are preaching, you know, the way to salvation. And that's fine, and that's true enough, but after many days of her doing this, it became kind of irritating and was hindering their ministry. So finally, Paul turned around and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. What was Paul? He was a believer. What name did he use? The name of Jesus there, didn't he? He used the name of Jesus, and he commanded the devil to come out. So there's a work of Jesus. Jesus cast out devils that believers did in the book of Acts. And all through there, it talks about different things that were done. I'm trying to think of some others now. How about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2? That was something that was a greater work that never happened under Jesus' ministry. Remember when the tongues of fire came on the disciples and they all spoke in tongues? And it wasn't just in Acts chapter 2. If you go back and look, there was in Acts chapter 8, I think Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, Acts chapter 19 with the Ephesians. All these cases were evidences of people speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit coming upon people. That was a greater work that never was done in Jesus' ministry, covered in the book of Acts, done by believers and in believers. And we have salvation, of course, all through the book of Acts. People got saved, and that was a new greater work that never happened under Jesus' ministry. Speaking in tongues is a miracle. It's a new greater work that didn't happen in Jesus' ministry. And, of course, then we have all the things that did happen in Jesus' ministry, the healings, the teaching and the preaching and the miracles. And we even have Paul raising Eutychus from the dead in the case. And Jesus raised people from the dead, but here a believer raised someone from the dead. Paul shook off the viper into the fire. Many, many examples of believers doing the works of Jesus. Stephen, it said, did great miracles and works. And so we have many, many cases. And Stephen wasn't an apostle either. He was just a believer like us that was used by God. And he did many works and miracles. And so there's many, many cases of believers doing the works of Jesus in the book of Acts. Next question. What additional requirement are we given for doing these works in Acts chapter 3? Now, so far, remember, we've talked about using the name of Jesus, being a believer. And that's the main things that Jesus covers. But in the book of Acts, it's kind of interesting. In chapter 3, let me go back and just cover this a little bit. Acts chapter 3, it was when Peter and John went up to the temple. I was going to read it. Now, verse 1, Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed, this crippled man, unto them, expecting to receive something of them. In other words, he was expecting to receive some money. But Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. One thing I'd like to point out here, before we go on to answer this question, is the fact that Peter said, Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Why did he say, such as I have, give I thee? Because of John 14, 12, and 13, and Mark 16, we just read. Jesus said, The works that I do shall ye do also. When he said that, he gave that name to believers. That's why Peter could say here, such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? He had the name of Jesus, and he had authority from Jesus himself to do this work, didn't he? So that such as I have, give I thee. In the name, notice he used the name of Jesus Christ here. The name Jesus, there's the power. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, to answer this question, we need to go to verse 16. Then they were quizzed upon how this man got healed, and Peter answered their question and said, His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. In other words, strong enough to walk. So we have another requirement, if you will, here. It's his name, it's believers, but a third thing is faith in his name. You can't just use this name like a rabbit's foot, in other words. It's got to be more than just a rabbit's foot. It's got to be a deep heart faith in this name. And that's why I'm talking about this name in these lessons, really, to build faith in your hearts in the power and the majesty of the name of Jesus that he's given believers to use. You need to know that, number one, he's given it to you to use. Number two, there's power wrapped up in that name. And you need to know you have permission to use it. And so Peter knew that. He knew he had this name. Remember, he says, such as I have. Most believers today don't know they have this name. It's unfortunate to say. But Peter knew he had it, and he used it. And he said in verse 16, it was his name, through faith in his name, that made this man strong or whole. See? So the three things, then, requirements are, be a believer, use the name, and have faith in the name. And when you have faith in the name, you'll be able to say, as Peter did, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So, what additional requirement are we given for doing these works in Acts chapter 3? The answer to this question would be faith in the name. How would we obtain this extra ingredient that we just talked about called faith? Well, let's ask ourselves the question, how does faith come? How does faith come into our hearts? Faith comes by knowing God's will, which is his word. That's how you get faith. That's what Romans 10:17 says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That simply means by knowing God's will in the situation, which is given by his word. That's how faith comes. And you can get this faith from knowing his word through teaching from the word, your meditation in the word, And even your experience doing the Word will build faith. All three of these things, teaching, meditation, and experience doing the Word, will bring faith. But notice the common ingredient, the Word, the Word, the Word. Teaching from the Word, meditation in the Word, experience doing the Word, knowing God's will, which is His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You don't get any faith in the things of God unless you know what His Word says about this specific situation that you're desiring the faith in, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, whether it's for your kids, whether whatever it might be. You need to know what God's Word has to say about that situation. Next question. Name two differences between praying in the name of Jesus, as we learned to do in John 16:23, and doing the works of Jesus, as described in John 14:12. Okay, what's the two differences between praying in the name of Jesus and doing the works of Jesus? Well, the first difference is in John 16:23, we pray. Okay? Where in John 14:12, we demand. Okay, in John 16:23, we pray. Okay, that's one difference. And where do we pray to? We pray to the Father, and the Father does the works. Okay, that's John 16:23. In John 16:23, we pray. And we pray to the Father, and then the Father does the works. Now, in John 14:12, we don't pray, we demand it. We demand our word-based rights of circumstances or the devil, and then the Holy Spirit or Jesus, either way, Jesus said, I'll do the works, does the work through us. So in one case we pray, that's one difference. In the other case we demand, okay? And another difference is we pray to the Father. In the second case we demand it of circumstances or the devil, okay? So these are two differences between praying in the name of Jesus and doing the works of Jesus. In the first case we pray, in the second case we demand. In the first case we pray to the Father, in the second case we demand it of circumstances or the devil. In the first case the Father does the work, in the second case it says Jesus does the work, and He does it through us by the Holy Spirit. So those are some differences. I gave you three differences there. Any two of those three would work. Now, last question is, name two things that are the same between the two methods. Well, the first thing that are the same is we both cases, we must be believers to do these, either to pray in the name of Jesus or to do works in the name of Jesus. So one thing that's the same between the two is we must be believers. The second thing that's the same between the two is we must use the name of Jesus when we pray in the name of Jesus or do works in the name of Jesus. So the two things that are the same are to be believers and to use the name of Jesus. Well, then this completes our lesson on doing works in Jesus' name. I hope this has helped clarify this.